For a few moments tonight, I'd like us to note the end part of verse 52. For God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. Dear congregation, in the deepest valley of affliction, fruit can spring forth and blessing abound. One can be spiritually revived and know great comfort. The psalmist knew a little of this, and so under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, penned those words in Psalm 119, verse 50. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy words have quickened me. He had known comfort in that valley, but also a little reviving, that quickening. He had known fruit and blessing in the valley. Blessings come from the good hand of God. And they can arise even in the deepest valley. What blessings we have known. How afflictions have been sanctified for our good. One of the blessings often known in trial, that one is driven to their knees. And that is good, is it not? The other day I was driven to my knees and I poured out my heart before the Lord. What a blessing then we see arising at such a time. Thank God when you are driven to your knees in the gale of affliction. Do not forget to thank him. Now tonight we consider Joseph, who knew fruitfulness in the land of his affliction. Just notice the end of verse 52. For God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. He had two sons born unto him, as we note there from verse 50. One of them was called Manasseh, and we read in verse 51, For God, said he, hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. He was able to go forward. There was a forgetting and a going forward. The name of the other son, Ephraim, in verse 52, and we read this, For God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. Well, the title tonight is Fruitfulness in the Land of My Affliction. Fruitfulness in the Land of My Affliction. First of all, afflicted, and then secondly, fruitful. Afflicted and fruitful. And it's our prayer, isn't it, right at the outset, we who love the Lord, that we would know fruit in our afflictions, that we would know God's blessing upon us, even in the deepest valley. We're first of all afflicted, and secondly, fruitful. Verse 52, In the name of the second called he Ephraim, for God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. The world is not home. And it was not home for Joseph. Many years Joseph had suffered affliction in the land of Egypt. If you go through Genesis, these chapters, young people and children, you will discover it was round about 13 years of suffering in Egypt. If you compare chapter 37, verse 2, and then verse 46 here in this chapter, he was 30 in verse 46. But if you compare the two passages, it's 13 years. He suffered many years. How he was afflicted for all that time. And no wonder he could say, For God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. He's thinking of the land of Egypt and all what he had faced there in the land. Well, let's just open this up a little tonight. First of all, he was sold as a slave by his brothers, and then merchants sold him to Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh's and captain of the guard. Just consider him. He's brought to Egypt. He arrives in Egypt, and he arrives as a slave. And the merchants who have brought him off the brothers now sell him to Potiphar. What conditions he faced on the journey. When he arrives into Egypt, what difficulties were before him. He was a slave and he was sold again. He was despised. We can think of many African slaves who were poorly treated in such harsh conditions. What conditions face Joseph in Egypt? He was there as a slave, brought in as a slave, treated as a slave. What he faced before he was respected by Potiphar and made an overseer. Oh, what conditions Joseph faced, where the Lord's people can be treated poorly, not only by other brethren, as we saw last time, but particularly unbelievers. Think of it for Joseph, think of it for the believer, certain believers. They can face such cruelty. And it's humbling, isn't it, to know that there are many brothers and sisters in Christ held in containers this night. My dear friend, for so many years, 13 plus years, about the same time as Joseph, held in a prison, held in a container. Oh, what they are suffering in Eritrea. We have so many comforts, do we not? Oh, so many of our brothers now and sisters are in such harsh conditions, and they're made to work in labor camps. Just think of North Korea. They're treated like slaves there at this very moment, not given that respect as they ought to have. Despised. So many of the Lord's people are despised. They're looked down on. How they despise the African slaves. How they despise Joseph. How they despise many at this time who belong to the Lord. We will be despised at times. Maybe laughed, mocked. What a place it was for Joseph. The land of his affliction. He was there to begin with as a slave. But then secondly, he faced days of temptation. He found himself in a battle with great temptation before him, with Potiphar's wife. Day after day, as we know, she came and she sought to tempt him to do wrong. Day after day. No wonder Joseph could speak of Egypt, the land of his affliction. So many temptations come. And the temptations come for the Lord's people. We mustn't be surprised. Suddenly a temptation comes before you. Maybe you're walking along and something comes before you. A billboard. You're in a shop and you see something. The smartphone, the computer, so on and so forth. Something suddenly can come. We will be tempted. We need to be mindful of that. You remember our Lord, he spake those words, "Our Father which art in heaven." And what was one of the petitions he gave a little later? Lead us not into temptation. Lead us not. We need to be praying to the Lord. Not just once a week, every day. Because there is temptation out there. And it can come to us every day. Lead us not into temptation. Lord, help me to stand like Joseph and say no. We know this affliction of being tempted. The land of affliction, many temptations come our way. Lead us not into temptation. Lord, give me strength to stand on the battlefield. For it is a battlefield, isn't it? We need strength to stand. We can't stand of ourselves. We need to be very careful if we think we're never going to fall into temptation. Be very careful. Because left to ourselves, we're full again and again and again. Lead us not into temptation. And if we do yield to temptation, deliver us from evil. Deliver us quickly, Lord. Come in a merciful way. Oh, what Joseph faced in the land of Egypt, the land of my affliction. And it is, isn't it? Temptations come. We're tempted by the devil. He's a roaring lion. And he walketh about seeking whom he can devour. There is fiery darts. In Ephesians 6, verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith wherewith we shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. There comes his fiery darts, and we need to take hold of the shield of faith. A little later, we consider being fruitful in the land of my affliction. Oh, to know more faith, that is the exercise of it. Oh, for that fruit to ripen. And we need it to ripen, don't we? Why? Because it's the land of affliction and temptations come. How we need to take the shield of faith. The devil comes and whispers, don't worry about seeking to perfect holiness in the fear of God. Don't worry. People are compromising in the church. Don't worry. People won't see you do it. You'll go to heaven. Doesn't matter what you do. Oh, lift up the shield of faith. You shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. We need to take hold of it. We're not ignorant of Satan's devices, are we? We know he can come to us when we're weary and tired and hungry. He came to our Lord when he was weary, tired and hungry. He comes. We're not ignorant, are we? How we need to lift up the shield of faith. This is the land of my affliction. There's temptations. Many in the world will tempt us. Proverbs 1 verse 11. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Come with us, says the world to the Christian. Come with us. Come with me, Joseph, said Potiphar's wife. Come with us. It's the land of my affliction, isn't it? We're tempted. We're tempted so often. It's a battle, isn't it? How we long for heaven, to be free from the battle of temptation. You will face temptations. Consider thirdly, Joseph. He was falsely accused. It was the land of his affliction. He was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife, first of all. She falsely accused him. She sought to tempt him day after day. She wanted her lust gratified. She sought to tempt him. And then she falsely accused him when he would not yield. Oh, how sad it is. There will be those who have falsely accused you to some measure. I remember in my first employment, I was accused falsely of doing wrong. And then in my second employment, I was growing seeds in the greenhouse. And I just put the seeds in the trays and aborted them. And the director came down that evening and he couldn't see the flowers. I was called up into the office. I had to go up to the office. He said, what you been doing? Where's the flowers? I said, I've only put them in yesterday. You can't expect them to grow overnight. But he falsely accused me of not working, not sowing the seed. You will be falsely accused. Joseph was. You will be falsely accused. You may be working hard and somebody comes along. What you've been doing? You haven't done what you should have done. And it's not pleasant to be falsely accused. Our Lord was falsely accused. But what do we read in Matthew 5 verse 11? Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Blessed are ye. You are blessed. You belong to the Lord. But we are aware. It is the land of our affliction. They will say all manner of evil against you falsely. Maybe something they say one day in the workplace or the college or the school. Then the next week and the next week. On it can go. Let's consider fourthly imprisonment. How Joseph found himself imprisoned in the land of his affliction. We thought already tonight of many who are facing harsh conditions. There's so many in prison. Think of those in prison in China. We all know that pastor who was arrested a year or so ago and charged and sentenced, and there he is. Pictures come out recently. He's lost so much weight. He's handcuffed for doing what I'm doing tonight, preaching the word of God. There's so many in prison who love the Lord. In Eritrea, in China, in Iran, people just seem to disappear in the prison as well. Oh, for so many, there is this hard cross to bear. Fifthly, as we think of the land of his affliction being forgotten, who was he forgotten by? The chief butler. Joseph said in Genesis 40, verse 14, "But think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. Think on me." He had helped the chief butler. He had brought comfort to the chief butler. "Think on me and show kindness." But what do we read in verse 23 of chapter 40? "Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him." It's not easy to be forgotten. Perhaps someone's promised to do you good and help you out. Maybe in the workplace you're struggling with something and someone says, "Well, I will help you. We'll get that done together. We'll get out of that difficulty for you." But then you're forgotten. And knowing that we're forgotten is a hard thing at times. You may be in difficulty and people forget you. Thoughts can arise. What's going to happen? You can come anxious when people forget you. And sometimes you have to endure the hardship a little longer because people forget you. Or you find yourself in financial difficulties. Is Joseph in the land of affliction forgotten by the chief butler who had promised to do him good? But let me assure you, the Lord will not forget you. Those precious words in Isaiah. "But Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee." He will not forget. Others may forget you. And you find yourself in difficulties because they forget you. They promised to help you, but they forgot you. The Lord will not forget you. "They may forget, yet will I not forget thee." And are we not thankful in the land of our affliction? Though we may be forgotten by others, we're not forgotten by the Lord. And neither was Joseph. "Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me." We're not forgotten. We're on the palms of his hands. And as he goes forth, he looks at his hands. He's looking at his hands right now at the beginning of this week. You may say, "Well, that person's forgotten me. It's been a long trial now." The Lord has remembered. And you're on the palms of his hands, graven there. He looks at his hands as he goes forth this week. And they keep looking. Oh, what afflictions Joseph faced. No wonder Joseph spake of Egypt, the land of his affliction. And it is the land of our affliction. There is a cross to bear. There is a trial to face. Remember what our Lord said in Luke 9 and verse 23. "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." There is a cross. What is the cross? Well, our Lord in verse 22 of Luke 9 spake of his own sufferings. So the cross to bear is a pathway of suffering. He would suffer on a cross. The climax of his sufferings was at Calvary. When we think of the cross there for the believer, it is sufferings for the sake of Christ. There is a cross. What did our Lord say? "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily." What a blessing to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. What a crown awaits because of grace. But there is a cross to bear. It's a life of suffering to some measure. We will suffer. We need to sit down and count the cost. Did we do that? There's a cost in following Christ. And then there's a cross to bear. I will suffer. But take comfort. The Saviour is there. And he supports you as you bear the cross. Oh, it is the land of affliction, isn't it? There are sufferings we face. In Philippians 1, verse 29, for unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. The believer will suffer to some measure. There's a cross to bear. Reverend John Brown of Haddington wrote, troubles and afflictions, chiefly those endured for Christ, are called a cross. And you have that cross to bear. It's not easy, is it, to be laughed at? You may be walking down, or you're in a group and they talk to you, and then you move away and you hear them laughing behind your back. It's not easy to bear the cross, but the Lord hasn't forgotten you. You're on the palms of his hands. And remember this, you're following the Lord. Yes, there is a cross to bear, but you're following the Lord. He will be there for you. Well, we think of the land of affliction. What did Joseph say here? For God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. There are sufferings for the sake of Christ. But let's just go a little further. There are also the common afflictions in the land. One can be weary. The unbeliever gets weary at times. So does the believer. The unbeliever at times gets perplexed. So does the believer at times. There are the common afflictions in the land. It's the land of our affliction, isn't it? It's a weary land. And there's so many afflictions to face. Yet we have one to help us. In Isaiah 32 verse 1 we read, behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and princes shall rule in judgment, and a man shall be as a hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. It's the wind of affliction, but he's the hiding place. Are you hiding in Jesus? Dear child of God, what do we say with the psalmist? When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock. I haven't the strength to get there myself. We haven't, have we? And often we prove that in affliction. But then we discover the Lord has a strong arm and he's able to lead us to himself. Oh, there's a hiding place. Are we not thankful for the hiding place? I was in the study a little earlier, and then I popped home, and then I came back. And as I was coming back, the rain just came down. And I held out my winter's coat. I had my winter's coat on, but I held it out over my head, and it sheltered me. And I was hid under my coat in the rain. When the winds blow and the rain of adversity comes down on your head, the Lord is your hiding place. What a lovely description. It is the land of our affliction, but there is a hiding place. Are you there tonight? A covert from the tempest, a shadow of a great rock in a weary land. We haven't had much of a summer so far, have we? But you know what it's like when it's really hot and the sun is so shining and you're being scorched? You go for the shade and you feel some refreshment in the shade. For the Lord is as the shadow of a great rock. We're under his shade, as we see in the Song of Solomon, in the weary land. It is the land of our affliction, but there is shade, and there is refreshment, and there is comfort under Christ. Oh, to make our way unto him when we feel so weary. Oh, to be near him. It is the land of my affliction, isn't it? We recognize that. We can echo these words here. The land of my affliction. Well, before we go on and consider our second point, we think of the land of my affliction and we're led to consider a better country, aren't we? Have you considered the better country? Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we're on the way to a better country, the heavenly country. Remember those heroes of faith. They sought that better country, Hebrews 11, verse 16. But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared them a city. They desire And why do they desire the better country? Because it's better. It's simple as that, isn't it? It's far better. To be with Christ is far better. It is the better country. This is the land of our affliction. We seek the better country, heaven. And then when heaven and earth will be one, how wonderful. It's the land of my affliction, but it's not my long home. We're just passing through. And are we not thankful? We're on the way to the better country. Are you all on the way to the better country? Perhaps there's someone here. You're not hiding in Jesus. Oh, that you would flee to him. And that you of us would be on the way to the better country. That you would believe in Jesus. That you would repent of your sin. And that you would have the prospect of the better country. For the unbeliever who dies in their sins, it will not be the better country. It will be far worse in that place called hell. What a blessing to be a Christian. Yes, this is the land of our affliction, but we're on the way to the better country. And what does the land of affliction do for us at times? It makes us long for the better country. For Joseph says here, for God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. It is the land of our affliction. But let's consider now being fruitful. And that's what we desire to be more and more, isn't it? Fruitful for God's glory. Well, as we draw to a close, secondly, fruitful. And the name of the second called he Ephraim, for God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. Ephraim, fruit, and literally from the Hebrew, double fruit. Oh, to be more like him. Not just fruit, but double fruit. So fruitful. Perfecting holiness. Displaying the fruit of the Spirit. Oh, we're concerned about double fruit, aren't we? An abundance of it. That's what it means, isn't it? Children, what draws you? One strawberry? Or a number of strawberries in a bowl. It's a number of strawberries, isn't it? The other day, Sharon did strawberries and cream with sugar. I would have been upset if it was just one strawberry. But it was a bowl full of strawberries. Is it not our concern for double fruit? What's the Lord looking for? Double fruit. Oh, that there would be such an abundance, more and more. Well, we must draw to a close. For God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. Just begin, it's all of grace, isn't it? The fruit we know is because of grace. For God hath caused me, whether it be children like Joseph, whether it be temple blessings like Joseph, whether it be the fruit of the Spirit, let's tonight give God the glory. What do we read here? For God have caused me to be fruitful. Just pause on this point. What a blessing. In the land of affliction, that God have caused me to look unto Jesus. That God have caused me as a believer to be found looking unto Jesus, exercising faith. God have caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. It's our concern, isn't it? And it's our joy. Fruitfulness. Well, let's just open this up as we draw to a close. Be very brief. We think of Joseph, first of all. Firstly, there was seed. There was children. We know that in verse 51 and verse 52. That's part of the fruit, isn't it? Double fruit, Ephraim. For God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. For some it is the providence of God that they would have children. For others it isn't. But all we see it here for Joseph. In Genesis 49 verse 22, Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well, whose branches run over the wall. The branches run over the wall, there was growth. We see the extension of the family. For God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. But then consider secondly temporal fruits and blessings. Joseph was blessed in the land of his affliction. Just notice verse 49. Joseph gathered corn as the sand of the sea, very much until he was left numbering, but was without number. He left numbering, he couldn't count it all. Such was the blessing. Temporal blessing there. Well, we can think of spiritual blessings as well. We cannot count the sum of them, can we? We're so blessed. Let's just go back to temporal blessings. Dear brothers and sisters, we have what we need, haven't we? God has supplied. God hath caused us to be fruitful in the land of our affliction. We have our daily bread, clothing, homes to live in. We may not live in a palace yet, but we have a home to live in. And we're on the way to the heavenly palace. And you consider this, we came with nothing. God hath caused you to be fruitful in the land of your affliction. What did the apostle say in 1 Timothy 6, verse 6 through to verse 8? But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. The apostle Paul recognizes the hand of God in the temporal things he had received, and so did Joseph, for God hath caused me. Yes, he gives us the strength to work. Yes, we go out. We have certain things, but let's pause. God has given. Thirdly, and finally, spiritual fruit, and we particularly focus on this. Yes, Joseph was given children in the providence of God. Joseph was given temporal fruit, but particularly Joseph knew spiritual fruit in the land of affliction. And that's the great blessing, isn't it? Spiritual fruit in the land of affliction. Joseph was a fruitful man. He was godly. He was growing in grace. The graces were flourishing. Now, he was a man of faith. And only a man or woman of faith can truly know fruitfulness, for they alone are in union with Christ. What did our Lord say in John 15, verse 5? I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. For without me, ye can do nothing. Those are precious words to me. And it brings me right to the feet of Jesus. Without me, ye can do one thing, no. Nothing. How much we need Jesus. How thankful we ought to be that we have Jesus. For without me ye can do nothing. But with the Lord there can be the flourishing. See, we're in union. Grace flows to us. There's fruit. Fruitful in the land of affliction. Now afflictions can be sanctified for the believer's good. Psalm 119 verse 71. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statute. It's good for me. The other week, I was driven to my knees, and I was weeping, and I was thankful. I was pouring my heart out to Jesus. The affliction had been sanctified to my good. And it is a blessing, isn't it, when we find ourselves just pouring out our hearts. Lord, I need thee. Lord, I trust thee. Lord, lead me and guide me. See the good. And you bless God if you've been driven to your knees. And you've sobbed your heart out and poured it out before the Lord. You bless God that the trial was sanctified. One can be found exercising more faith. That's a blessing of trials at times when we're caused to just trust the Lord more. Lord, I don't know what thou art doing in this situation, but I trust thee. There can be the blessing of greater love. Oh, we can feel wounded, we can feel afflicted, but love can be drawn to Jesus. We can be led to consider what he did for us in great love, and our love ripens and we're found talking to him. Patience can be strengthened in affliction. That's one we often learn, isn't it? Patience. But thank God for making you more patient through the affliction, more patient for the abundant blessing, and it'd be worth it in the long run. Long suffering, that's a blessing, isn't it? Suffering long, how Joseph was blessed and fruitful. 13 years, suffering long. Pastor Rockber for the same time. Oh, there were times he was so cast down. We're told that he was physically abused and mentally abused, what he faced in that container. But oh, if I could show you the smile on his face that's in my mind when I was about 8 years of age, when he came off the train, what a smile. After years of famine, what a smile I know he has on his face now with the underground church in Eritrea. Long suffering, he was taught. Oh, the trial can be sanctified to bring forth more fruit. And it's our desire, isn't it? Lord, make me more fruitful. Even if it must be another affliction. What do we read here? For God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. There are many afflictions to the righteous, as we see in Psalm 34. Lord, make me fruitful. Make me trust thee more. Make me love thee more. Make me more patient, kind, and long-suffering. Make me more like Jesus. Now what do we read in 2 Peter 3 verse 18? But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Grow in grace. Growth. There's grace within, and the grace is the fruit of the Spirit we can particularly consider. There's holiness. There's growing. Everything's growing at the moment, isn't it? Just look at the grass. A couple of years ago, the grass was brown out there. But it's so green, isn't it? Everything's growing. It's lovely and green, isn't it? The flowers, the leaves, the fruit. Is everything growing in your soul at this time? Is faith growing? Is love growing? Long-suffering, patience? Is holiness growing within? Growing in grace? We're told that there are some fruits that grow best in winter. And Joseph learnt that. For God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. And we can be in expectation that even in the winter times, the Lord can cause us to be fruitful. Oh, for springtimes in the soul. Much growth, growing grace. That's the exhortation. Oh, to be stronger. Oh, to have more faith, more love. More love to thee, Lord Jesus. Greater love. When did you last tell your wife that you loved her? Or your brothers and sisters? I don't know how many times I said it to my sister. Not enough. How many times do we say it to Jesus? When did we last say it to Jesus on our own? I love thee. I love thee, Lord Jesus. Often we're found telling the Lord that we love him more when we're afflicted. Remember that enemy of Spurgeon? He came up to Spurgeon. Spurgeon was in pain. There was gout. And he said to Spurgeon, how could you love a God that afflicts you like that? And Spurgeon said, if the Lord afflicted me many more times, I would still love him. And Spurgeon loved the Lord in affliction. Oh, to love the Lord more in affliction. Oh, for stronger faith. What did John Newton say? I ask the Lord that I might grow in faith and love and every grace. Ask the Lord, I want to grow. I want to be stronger in faith. When I'm struggling, Lord, increase our faith. I want to be one who loves thee more, who has more joy in thee, Lord Jesus, who knows more peace, that tranquility in my soul. I'm more long-suffering and patient and kind and humble and meek like Jesus. I ask the Lord that I might grow. Ask him now that you might grow. But Joseph continued to grow. And he was fruitful in his old age. Psalm 92, verse 12. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. See, the believer planted by grace, supported by grace, and fruitful by grace, fat and flourishing. The word fat there speaks of vigorous. The older we get, we may feel more frail. But oh, for a spiritual vigor within. Oh, it's a blessing to consider certain older Christians. Though they know the frailty of the flesh, they are such an example of vigor. Of faith, flourishing, green, fresh. Oh, at times the older saint who grows, they feel they're in a body that slows them down. But a comfort, one day we will have a body that will aid our communion with Christ. Oh, to grow. Oh, to be more godly. It's humbling when I consider this. Am I loving Jesus more tonight than I did last week, last year? Oh, to love Jesus more. Oh, to be more fruitful. Take comfort, the Lord looks on and he sees fruit. He does see it. Sometimes it may appear small, but he does see it. Oh, for the Lord to look on my heart, to see faith, love, joy, peace, ripening. As in the harvest. Oh, to be more fruitful for God's glory. John 15, verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Being fruitful for God's glory. And it's one of the things we desired in an affliction. For God's glory, we would be fruitful. We want God glorified through our afflictions, don't we? Make me more fruitful. Let people see, though I'm struggling, though I'm crying, I am trusting thee, Lord Jesus. Be it your concern to grow in whatever situation you find yourselves, and wherever you find yourselves. Samuel Rutherford wrote this, the great master gardener, the father of our Lord Jesus Christ, in a wonderful providence with his own hand, planted me here in this part of his vineyard. Here I grow and here I will abide till the great master of the vineyard thinks it fit to transplant me. Here I will grow. In the land of my affliction I will grow. Fruitful. It is the land of my affliction. It's not my long home, but it's the land of my affliction. And I desire to be fruitful. And dear brothers and sisters, take comfort. You can continue to be fruitful because you're in union with Christ. Without me, ye can do nothing. What's implied? With me, ye can be fruitful. With me, you can focus by faith in the trial. With me, you can love me more. With me, you can be more patient in this trial, more long-suffering. What we can do with the Saviour. Oh, God's grace to Joseph, God's grace to us, for God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. Oh, to focus on the Lord tonight when we consider our trials, make me fruitful. And above everything else, in light of John 15 and what Christ said, make me fruitful for thy glory. Amen.